Welcome to Saints Alive, where we take you with us to meet God's most heroic followers. The saints were just ordinary boys and girls who allowed God's love to transform them into real-life superheroes. Their love for God changed our world. Did you know that God has sent you here to become a saint? It's up to you to choose love over fear, to be courageous, faithful, and kind. The choice to become a saint won't be easy, but it will be worth it. So listen closely and open your hearts. These real-life tales of the saints from the past may just inspire you how to live your story. Let's go on this adventure together. This episode is sponsored by Saint Sprouts. Saint Sprouts offers vinyl stickers of various saints and Marian images. The designs will inspire hearts of all ages. Weather-resistant and waterproof, they are perfect for water bottles, laptops, and more. They make perfect gifts for sacraments and evangelization. Visit saintsprouts.com and use the code SAINTSALIVE for 15% off their Etsy shop and follow them at saintsprouts. Catholic Family Crate and Saints Alive have teamed up to create an interactive listening experience with a collection of saint coloring pages. These pages are hand-illustrated, free, and you can download and print them from any computer. Color along by listening to Saints Alive by downloading these coloring sheets at catholicfamilycrate.com/saintsalive. Again, that link is catholicfamilycrate.com/saintsalive. If you love listening to Saints Alive, please consider donating so that we can continue to create these episodes. You can donate anywhere from $2 to $30 a month with some fun perks to go along with your patronage. Check out our Patreon account, which you can find through the donation page on our website at www.saintsalivepodcast.com. Have you ever thought a dream was trying to tell you something? Perhaps a bad dream about doing poorly in school motivates you to study more. Or maybe a good dream about a fun day with your parents prompts you to tell them you love them. The saint we will hear about today had many dreams, but they were quite out of the ordinary. In the dreams of Saint John Bosco, Jesus and Mary were hard at work showing John what his destiny was and the good he was doing for the world. However, John's first prophetic dream when he was 8 years old seemed more like a nightmare at first. John found himself looking out over a city meadow where young boys were cursing and fighting with each other.
Children of God, it isn't right to fight each other.
Say that again, and I might just come and knock you over.
You can try, but if you do, I'll have to fight to stop you.
Suddenly, John felt a strong, gentle hand on his shoulder, holding him back.
What are you doing, John?
Me?
Yes, my son. What are you doing?
Those boys were fighting. It's not right. I was trying to get them to stop.
You're a brave young boy, John. You remind me of my friends when I walked the earth. But this is not the way to win hearts. Not with blows, but with gentleness and charity. You must take care of them and win their hearts. Teach them the beauty of virtue and the ugliness of sin.
But how can I teach them? I haven't even gone to school myself.
With obedience and knowledge, you will do the impossible.
I can be obedient, but where can I find knowledge?
Come with me. I'll introduce you to someone who will teach you true knowledge.
Sir, who are you?
I'm your greatest friend, John, and the son of whom your mother tells you to salute three times a day.
I'm sorry, sir. But my mother told me to be careful of strangers. What is your name?
Ask my mother.
As John looked up, he saw a beautiful woman crowned with light and carrying a shepherd's staff.
It's Mary! Watch out! Holy Mother, those animals around you look vicious!
Don't worry, my son. I will show you what to do with my children.
Mary lifted her staff and thrust it into the ground so that the whole earth shook. The wild animals around her all began to stumble and fall. When the shaking stopped, they lifted their heads and were all beautiful little lambs, blinking happily in the sunlight.
This is your work, John.
But what does it all mean?
You will soon understand. Until then, be humble and strong, and know that I love you and will always be with you.
Little by little, John began to understand. First, he realized that he must become a priest, but it wasn't going to be easy. His older brother, Anthony, had become the man of the house after the death of their father, and he saw John's desires to become a priest as nothing more than a silly dream.
Mother, I will not allow it any longer. We need John on the farm. The work gets harder every year, and it doesn't help to have him running all over the place, filling his head with nonsense.
Anthony, listen to John. Listen to his dreams. He has a gift. God tells us to use our gifts for his glory, so that is what John must do. That is why he must continue his education.
I was never educated. Why should he get what I never had?
I am sorry that you never had the chance, Anthony, but you have so many other great gifts. You are strong and disciplined.
I've heard enough from you. You go on about your education, and yet half the time you do nothing but play around with those boys you befriended. First around the village, then Casa Nuevo, now even at Chieri. You're forming a regular gang.
It's not a gang. They are my Sunday school boys. I take care of them, and they have no one but me. Half of them don't even know their parents. Remember, Anthony, when we lost Papa? What if we had lost Mama, too? Who would be there to play with us, to teach us, to make sure we didn't get into trouble?
So what? Are you going to be mother and father to every homeless boy you find?
No. God is their father, and Mary is their mother. I am only their servant.
You dream too much. You dream while the rest of us work.
Uncle Michael.
Hello, Margaret. How is my favorite sister?
Better than your two nephews.
Apparently so. You can hear the Bosco boys fighting from miles away. Thankfully, I have come to settle the matter. I've heard that John has the opportunity to go into the seminary.
Yes, Uncle, but it isn't that simple. We need him on the farm. Besides, you know how the government views priests. They could raise our taxes because of him, or worse.
If they do, I'll take care of it. My time to help is long overdue. I will stay and help on the farm. Father Colosso has helped raise some money to send John to Turin for the seminary, so we won't be in need.
Is this true?
It is. It's time for you to pursue your calling. As the senior member of this family, I give you my blessing.
But Uncle...
As for you, my dear Anthony, I appreciate your dedication to work. We'll be doing a lot more of that together now that I'm here. In the meantime, John, pack your bags and say goodbye to your mother. You're going to the city.
John worked hard at his studies, harder than any other student. He needed to, having started his education so late in life. Throughout it all, his faith never wavered, and his dedication to his Sunday school boys only grew. Soon enough, it was time for his ordination and the beginning of his life as a priest. From here on out, he was known as Don Bosco. Don means father in Italian.
John, you have some special visitors who have come to congratulate you.
My friends, Jonas, Bartholomew, you've even brought the little ones.
How could we miss the ordination of our leader? If it weren't for you, none of us would even know what a priest is.
Or who Jesus is.
Or Father Cavazzo, or even the Holy Mother.
I appreciate being included alongside Mother Mary, but I hardly think I'm worthy.
Still, Father Cavazzo, I think it's fitting. You may not be as beautiful as the Holy Mother, but you have a heart as big as all of Turin.
Where are you going to go now, Brother John?
That's done, Bosco, now.
It is both now. I will always be your brother, but now I am also Father Bosco, or Don Bosco.
How does that make sense?
All things are possible in God. Is not Jesus both God and man?
The teaching never stops.
That's right, Bartholomew. However, later today, the subject will change from teaching you about Jesus to teaching you a lesson on the football field.
But first, if you'll excuse Don Bosco, he has some more people to thank. Jonas, take the boys to the field. We'll be there shortly.
Congratulations, Brother John.
Congratulations, Don Bosco.
You've done such amazing work already, John. I'm glad you took my advice to become a secular priest instead of a Franciscan.
You were right. If I were a Franciscan, I wouldn't be able to care for those boys. Now, I can stay and help them.
You'll help many more. I've made arrangements for you to become the chaplain at the orphanage in Baldocco. Many children will need you there. But first, there's one person who needs your attention more than anyone else.
My son. Congratulations.
Mother!
I am so proud of you, John. This is the happiest day of my life. As I fed you all the years of your youth, you now feed me the bread of life eternal.
Thank you for believing in me. This is what I am meant to do. Not a day will pass that I won't joyfully celebrate the Mass.
You deserve that joy. It is the joy of Christ. But you must also remember that you are a servant. This life you have chosen will not be easy, not even saying the Mass. For to say the Mass is to unite yourself with the crucified, to begin to suffer. When you feel that suffering, think of this joy and pray. Mary and Jesus will not abandon you.
I will, Mother. I promise.
I know you will. And God will use you gloriously. Think of nothing but the salvation of souls.
The newly ordained Don Bosco worked tirelessly at the orphanage and never forgot the homeless boys on the street. Soon, his Sunday school boys numbered over 80, and the orphanage was no longer able to support them. Don Bosco and his boys were homeless, jumping from broken-down chapels to public fields. Their future didn't look promising.
Don Bosco, the little ones are cold and hungry. What should we tell them?
Tell them we finally found a home. Come inside.
Here? But Don, this old barn is barely standing.
And wasn't Jesus born in a stable?
The ceiling isn't even 6 feet high.
Oh, you know how clumsy I am, Bartholomew. If it were 60 feet high, I'd still find a way to bump my head. And just think how warm it will be.
I heard the Marchioness of the Orphanage talking to you.
Oh?
She told you that you had to choose between us or being the chaplain at the orphanage.
You heard all of that?
Why did you choose us?
She will find a dozen men to take my place at the orphanage, but if I give up my poor children, who will take my place?
Now, you are homeless. Just like us.
And I couldn't be happier.
Don Bosco, are you all right?
Yes. I'm.
Someone! Call for help!
Don Bosco developed a raging fever and was found with pneumonia, an illness that was often a death sentence during those times. His tireless work for his boys had finally taken its toll. Father Borel, one of his oldest friends, offered him room and cared over him. Don Bosco received his last rites and awaited death. All throughout the night, his boys stood guard outside his room and ceaselessly prayed for a miracle.
John, do you hear that? It's your boys. They're praying for you.
And I pray for them. Oh, how I wish I could be with them.
Pray with them, then. Pray that you may be healed.
My friend, I only pray that God's will be done.
Pray then at least that if it is his holy will, he may cure you. Please, John.
I pray, if it is his holy will, that I may be of more use to him, that I may help these children more.
Good. Now I know you will get well. Your own prayer was the only thing that was needed.
Sure enough, Don Bosco regained his health. It was a miracle, but as with everything in his life, it was a struggle. He even had to ask his elderly mother to move in with him in a small room in the city to help the boys while he recovered. However, it was a time of great joy. John's small army of Catholic boys couldn't contain their excitement at his recovery, and soon things began to look up. Don Bosco soon established his first church and school for his boys, with funds all miraculously donated. When asked by a cardinal of his secret to successfully educating his children, who had grown to over 500 in number, Don Bosco cheerfully replied,
"You can do nothing with young people unless you have their confidence and love. You must do the utmost to win their friendship. You do that by putting yourself in contact with them, by being like a child yourself."
And that's exactly what he did. Don Bosco was never angry with his boys or punished them. Instead, he showed them love and gently corrected them, just as the Holy Mother had instructed him, and they loved him for it. But his work wasn't all fun and friendship. A growing movement of violent anti-Catholic protesters began to take notice and set plans in motion to silence the good priest once and for all.
"Do you have the gun?"
"Yes, and a club just in case."
"Good thinking. That wretched priest has escaped us too many times. This time, we'll make sure he gets what's coming to him."
"How will we do it?"
"I'll take this bag and put it over his head. Then you bring the gun and finish him. Don't miss your shot."
"I've been waiting for this. Trust me, I won't."
"Quick, hide.
Here he comes."
"Take that! Take that, priest!"
Little did the Waldensians know that Don Bosco was no pushover when it came to a fight. He beat the gun out of the first man's hand and landed a few good punches. But eventually, the two thugs got the better of him. His long illness had taken a toll, and he didn't have the same strength to fight back like he used to.
"This'll teach you, priest. If you don't like my gun, I'll show you my club."
Don Bosco thought of the boys that needed him and gathered every ounce of strength to fight back. But it wasn't enough. The thugs were ruthless and would stop at nothing until his lifeless body lay in the streets.
"How about this?"
Don murmured the prayers he thought would be his last when he saw a shadow of a beast cross the dark alleyway and heard the low growl of a wolf. The thugs heard it too and turned around just in time to see a massive dog bounding for them, teeth snarling.
"Get it off us! Call off your wolf dog, priest!" "Run! Run!"
Don Bosco sat in the mud as his attackers ran off.
good friend, please don't hurt me. You've proven us men are no match for you. Wait, why? You fought off those villains with the ferocity of a lion. But to me, you're no more than a kitten. You're a true friend. But what can I call you? What name best fits the heart of a lamb, but the body of a gray wolf? What should we call you? Grigio! Your name shall be Grigio. Now that we have introductions out of the way, let's go back to my home for some delicious scraps.
Grigio the wolf dog followed Don Bosco home that night, happily ate his fill of food, was as kind and peaceful as a mouse around the young boys, and then wandered off into the darkness. Every night that Don Bosco had to cross a darkened alley or walk the dangerous streets of Turin alone on errands for his boys, Grigio would appear and escort him to safety. Sooner or later, the Waldensians learned their lesson and stopped bothering him. As soon as they did, Grigio disappeared. His work of protecting the saintly priest was complete. And this is only the start of our story. Don Bosco's selfless love and persistent kindness changed the hearts of not just the Sunday school boys, but everyone he met. He wasn't self-seeking, but only sought the will of God. What are ways that you can lay down your life for those around you? How can you serve those in need? Maybe it's in giving of your time for a friend, or changing your frame of thought from, "What do I want?" to, "Lord, what do you want of me?" Don Bosco's adventure has only just begun. Make sure to tune in next week to hear the rest of the incredible story of Saint John Bosco. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Alex.
I'm Melissa.
And I'm Tanner.
And we are the team of Saints Alive. We are so grateful for all of our wonderful listeners and need your help to keep this going. Please consider donating to our ministry through our Patreon account, which you can find through our website at www.saintsalivepodcast.com. A special thanks to our new patrons who are donating $5 a month and up. These are families and individuals who donate to help us to continue Saints Alive. Jack Jones, Magdalena and Lily Zerpa, Cyril and Ivy Hutchinson, Ambrose Colette, Felix and Isaac Devereaux, Kaya, Malachi, Matthias, Kiana and Manoa Fizette, John, Jacob and Josephine McCulley, Sophia, Daniel, Alice, David and Thomas Lugo, Clara, Felicity, Finian and Catherine Ferrer, the Bredemeyer kids, Colby, Francesca, Sienna, and John, and Jack, Pierre, and Thomas Fisher, and the Brogan family. Thank you all so much.